little worried when I got up this morning. It was still raining, it was foggy, and as I got closer to Alabaster today, I was like, oh my goodness, nobody's going to come to church. It's only going to be the committed. And I got here, and I'm like, wow, you guys are the committed. This is a great crowd of committed. I want you to look at somebody and say, I am committed. We are so glad that you're here today. I knew it was going to be a great day when I looked up here and I saw all the ladies on the praise team wearing their boots. I don't know if they're new or old, but I did notice that Jennifer Smith, where's Jennifer? I noticed Jennifer Smith had like boots with the fur. I don't know if she had apple bottom jeans. I've never understood that, but she had the boots with the fur. And so I knew it was going to be a great day. Well, I am Rick Callahan, and I'm the family pastor here. I'm not the pastor. But I am so glad to be with you today. I actually have a couple of guests with me today. You can meet after the service. I have my mom with me right over here. This is Sarah Callahan. And I have my nephew, Noah, who I quizzed him on the way down here. And let me tell you, I'm going to quiz you maybe in a few minutes. And he did a great job on the way. And so we've enjoyed having them with us the last couple of days. Watched a little ball game, shot off some fireworks in the rain. It was interesting. By the way, fireworks, when it's rainy and when it's real windy, they don't go where you think they're going to go, or they don't work how you think they're going to work. So the first one, they had this rocket, and I'm like, hey, let's shoot it off. And I say, okay, Noah, watch right out there. And that thing went, phew, we didn't even see it. Went way behind us. Well, I hope you have had a good holiday season, and we've had a good time, we've relaxed, we've enjoyed being together, and I hope that this year is going to be a great year. I want you to look at somebody and say, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And I hope that last year was a good year for you as well. I don't know about you, but I had a pretty successful year. A couple little surgeries, a few little injuries. I had a black eye. Hey, I did get to wrestle out here at the Fall Festival. That was kind of fun to get to wrestle. And by the way, I never did tell y'all this, but the guy that I wrestled against, he told me afterwards, say, hey, man, you hurt me in the chest, man. And I'm like, I hurt you? Come on, you're twice my size. You're a wrestler. I'm not. It was fun. It's been a good year. We've had a great time here at Westwood. A lot of great things have happened in the children's ministry and in the family ministry here, and I want to thank you for being a part of that. I've been told that every time I get an opportunity to speak, I need to speak about family, and I need to speak about children's ministry, but today is a little bit different. I want you to know that as I get to a new year, I always think back on the past year to see if it was good or bad. Maybe you do that as well. Today would be a good time to reflect and say, hey, what was this past year like? What were the successes? What were the things we did well? What were the things we experienced? What were the things we learned? And then you also think about those bad things and say, hey, I'm never doing this again. Have you ever been that way? You're like, this is not happening again in my house. And sometimes you repeat those things. But every year I look back and I look forward. And in the past, I've made New Year's resolutions. I don't do that anymore. Mainly because I don't keep them. How about you? You know, I make these resolutions to lose 20 pounds, and I'm like, I gained 10. You know, that's just how it works. I made resolutions to exercise every day, and then guess what? As I get older, it's harder and harder to get up and exercise every day. I do pretty good, but, you know, there's those days that I miss. So every year we look back and we look forward, and I want you to know we have some great things in store for us this coming year. You know, there's a company called Garmin that you may have seen or heard about, maybe you've read about on the internet, maybe you've seen the advertisements on TV. They've come out with this watch that basically you put on, and a lot of people have this, like all the Fit watches. And so you put them on, and they measure your movements throughout the day. And the Garmin, they can also tell you where you are in the world, because, you know, they keep up with you with GPS and all that. But this Garmin commercial that's out over the last few months basically says this: beat yesterday. Beat yesterday. And I will say, you know, the older I get, it's hard for me to beat yesterday, but you know what I can do? I can beat last year. So I'm going to challenge us today to, even though last year was a great year at Westwood, even though last year might have been a great year in your life, that this year we're going to beat last year. Look at somebody and say, let's beat last year. And so let's talk about how to do that today. I want you to know that in 2017, God already has some great things planned for us. Some incredible things, some things that we're going to enjoy, some things we're going to learn, some experiences we're going to have, some new friendships that we're going to make. 2017 is going to be incredible because God already has it mapped out for us. It's going to be incredible because, you know, that last song we sang, it says we're blameless before God if you're a Christian. Isn't that pretty cool? We're blameless before God. We are forgiven. When He looks at us, we are worthy and holy. Now, I don't feel that way inside, but when God sees me that way, that gives me hope for a great 2017. In Matthew 22:37-39, it's something that you've heard many, many years, very familiar. A lot of times in churches, we talk about the Great Commission, which is go ye, and we talk about the Great Commandment, which are these two things we're going to talk about today in the first part of this message. It says in Matthew 22:37, it says, "And he said to them," it's Jesus speaking, "you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now you're like, "Brother Rick, I've heard this message. I know I'm supposed to love God. I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor." But let's think about this for just a moment. What about last year? Last year, did you really love God? Did you really show your love to Him? See, I think that this year, we can love God more. Look at somebody and say, "This year, let's love God more." Do it. Hey, I'm a children's minister. I like participation, so you got to help me out here, okay? So why should we love God more? Well, there are a lot of scriptures I could read to you, but I'm going to mention these things to us. First of all, God made us. God made us so that we could bring glory and honor to Him. God designed us just like we are. It's one thing to look at yourself and say, "Wow, I'm this incredibly well-built guy, and I'm really smart, and I'm better than everybody else in sports, and I can speak, I can sing, I can do almost anything." It's one thing to say that and know that God created you like you are, but it's another thing when maybe all those qualities aren't your qualities. But I want you to know that God made you and loves you. The second is He just loves us. Look at all that He's given us. He loves us. He gives us great places to live. Hey, have you ever looked around Alabama, how beautiful it is? It's an incredible place to live. God's given us an incredible creation. God loves us. God cares for us. When things go bad, guess what? The Holy Spirit is there to help us. God loves you. He not only made you, He loves you. God wants the absolute best for us. He wants the best for us, the absolute best. He does not want us to live in lives of misery, although He allows misery sometimes for us to learn lessons. He wants the absolute best for us. He sent His Son for us. What greater love is there than that? That He would send His Son who laid down His life for us. God loves us. And you know what? In Deuteronomy, back in the Old Testament, He says, "I command you to love me." So because He has loved us, we need to love Him more. Just say it to yourself, "I am loved." You are loved by God. Love Him back. This year is going to be an incredible time for us to love God more. Now, how can we love God more? Let's talk about this for just a minute. One is by obeying Him. I used to tell my daughters, "Hey, you know what? You can show your love to me by obeying me. Obey me." God wants us to obey Him. We show our love for God by obeying Him. Are you willing to obey Him this year more than you did last year? Second thing is by putting Him first in our priority list. Where is God really on your priority list once you walk out of this room on Sunday mornings? Is He your priority all through the week? God desires to be first. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." He'll add all kinds of things to us. The next thing is we can love God by loving others. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. By telling others about Him, by fulfilling the Great Commission in our lives, we show God that we love Him. Once again, what about this last year? Did you tell people about Jesus? You may be one of those people that says, "Hey, you know, I live such a wonderful life. I just show them how to live. I don't have to talk to them." No, talk to them. Tell them God loved him so much that he sent his son to die for them. Tell them that God allows his Holy Spirit to come and live in Christians so that they can make wise decisions, so that they can please and honor him every day of their lives. Let's love God more. Of course, we always need to love God more by reading our word more, reading his word, by praying more. Could you pray a little more this year? Could you read your Bible a little more this year? My prayer for all of us is that we get up in the morning and we think about immediately, I need to spend time with God through prayer and reading of his word. You really want to be wise in life? Read his word. You really want to know how to make good decisions? Read his word. You really want to know how to help somebody else through a tough situation? Read his word. You really want to learn how to worship like you've never worshiped before? Read his what? Word. Good, you're still with me. We not only need to love God more, the second part of this passage says this, and a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We need to love others more. You're like, this is so simple. It is, but we've got to do it. Love God more. Love others more. Colossians 3:23 tells us this. It says, whatever you do, you work at it with all your heart as though you were working for the Lord and not for men. You love others because of God's love for you. You love others out of the overflow of your heart for the love that God has given you. Do you love others that way? We love others by being humble. It's hard for some people to be humble. Men, I heard recently that two of the best characteristics for a father who is successful is to be humble yet courageous. To be humble yet courageous. Be humble. Recognize that you don't have it all together. Recognize that we are really not worthy, but God sees us as worthy. Be hospitable toward others. Maybe you work in an office. Are you nice to the people you work with? Maybe you live in a community where you have neighbors. Most of us do. Are you nice to your neighbors? Do you go out of your way to say hi? Are you hospitable? Do you welcome people into your presence? Or do you shun them? Love others by being more hospitable. The other is by being generous. Be a giver. Be a giver. God calls us to be givers, not takers, not fakers, and not wasters. Let me say it again. God calls us to be givers, not takers, not fakers, and not wasters. A giver gives generously. A giver always gives their time and their energy and their resources to other people. If you really love others, you're going to be a giver. A giver serves, a giver helps, a giver encourages, a giver motivates. A giver, watch this, invests their lives in others in such a way as to add value to their lives. I shared this with teenagers the other day, just in an announcement about something we were doing. When I grew up, I was pretty selfish. I don't know about you. I'm not saying I've got it all together now, but most of us are pretty selfish. We care a whole lot about ourselves. So much so that we're never worried about anyone else to the point where we're adding value to their lives. So this year, 2017, be the kind of giver that adds value. That's the kind of person that in a sport, they would be a team leader, not just the star. Sometimes God blesses them with both. Be the kind of person that adds value to the people you're around. Now, I may be talking about your family situation. Maybe in your family, all you do is take, 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 take. You never give back. Maybe you're the one that always needs more encouragement. You're never the one that gives encouragement. Maybe you're the one that always needs to borrow something, but you're never willing to generously give something. Don't be takers. Be givers. So I've got to ask you, are you a giver? Were you a giver this past year? Do you add value to other people? There's some great examples in the Bible of some people who are givers, takers, fakers, and wasters. I'm going to call these out. You tell me whether you think they're a giver, a taker, a faker, or a waster. Okay? So this is the children's sermon part of the message. Here we go. What about Noah? Say giver. Giver. Yeah. I've had a chance to think through these, okay, so I understand. Moses, Joshua and Caleb, Abraham. Some of you are only participating like this. All right, Eli. He was a giver. Boaz, giver. Elijah, you're getting it. Ruth, Job, Esther, Josiah. Y'all know who Josiah was, by the way? He was an 8-year-old king that his only desire was to honor God in the kingdom. Wow. All right, what about this guy? This may throw you. David. A little bit of a giver, a little bit of a taker, but God recognized him as a man after God's own heart, right? All right, Jonathan. I'm getting you with all these. Okay. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, is what my wife said as soon as I asked her. And he was a good. Very good, very good. What about Daniel? Hosea? Mary and Joseph? Here's one. In the New Testament, Paul. Okay, what about Saul? Taker? Paul? Very good, very good. You're getting it. The apostles were givers. They actually ended up giving their lives. Judas was kind of a taker, but he gave to, anyway. What about Zacchaeus? All right, what do you think? I think Zacchaeus was a taker, then he became a faker, and then he became what? A giver. Father of the prodigal son was a giver. The widow who gave her last two mites, a giver. What about Jesus? Oh, very good, very good. All right, the Bible also has several examples about takers. Now, takers are these people. They're always trying to get something that they don't deserve without giving. They self-promote, and they're usually, by the way, if you work in an office or something, they're usually the loudest, most sure of themselves person that you're going to meet. You probably have a name in mind, but I want us to look at these examples from the Bible. Jacob was a taker. He and his mom kind of had this little scheme going. But then he became a faker as he got older. But yet, guess what? God still used him in a mighty way. Matter of fact, his name was changed to Israel. You ever heard of Israel? He had a pretty prominent spot in the Old Testament. King Saul was a taker. Jezebel and Ahab were takers. Satan, a what? Taker. Yeah. Matter of fact, in John 10:10, the Bible says, the taker, Satan, comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it, how? Abundantly or full. In addition to the Bible, it has example of fakers and wasters. Now you're like, okay, these are a little harder. A faker is this person. A faker is a person that they want to dress like a giver, but they're really going to take. Some people are simply wasters. They have talents, time, resources, abilities, but yet the right time never comes around for them to actually use their gifts. They're those people. They just kind of put it aside and say, I don't think I'm going to do anything. They might also be just lazy Christians. You may have met some of those along the way who always say, well, if I just lay back, somebody else will take care of it. So the message is real simple today. Be a giver, not a taker, not a faker, not a waster. Some of the fakers in the Bible were like Delilah, Balaam, he was a false prophet. Ananias and Sapphira were fakers. You know, they came before the disciples and they said they were giving all their money to the church. And Ananias came first. They weren't together when they came. He said, this is all my money. And the disciples said, this is all your money? And he said, yeah, this is all my money from the sale of my land. And it wasn't. He was lying. And so he died right then. Boom, on the floor. Other disciples take him out, and they go bury him. Later, his wife comes in, Sapphira comes in. She goes up, same thing. She thinks she can fake Paul off, and she says, hey, this is all my money from the sale of our land. Y'all seen my husband anywhere? And so he wasn't there. So she said, it's all of it? And she said, yeah, it's all of it. She died and was taken out and buried. That's good enough for me not to be a faker. The 10 spies who were sent in, actually 12 were sent in, 2 came back. Joshua Caleb said, hey, let's go take the land of Canaan. 10 of them said, no, I don't think it can ever happen. By the way, y'all may have seen this past week on the internet or either on TV, during the Georgia-Auburn basketball game, that they're like calling a timeout, and all the Georgia guys are huddled around, and this Auburn player walks over to the huddle and just gets right in there and learns the plan. And what's interesting is the Georgia guy just put his arm around him like, come on, brother. And so, great example of a faker and a taker, because I'm sure he was finding out what they were going to do next. Anyway, this next year, I want to challenge you to be a giver, a person that adds value. The last part of that John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and that you would have it abundantly. So let's look back at this lesson since we didn't have notes for you today. It's real simple. Love God, love others, love life. Love God, love others, love God, love life, and be a giver. If you get that, you're like, all the men are saying, hey, you should have done that first, I'd been out of here. Because I know all the men are like, hey, just give me that part, I'm good. Women are like, I know, let me hear the rest of it. So here's the rest of it. God has given us a great life. Just think of all the wonderful things that happen when we breathe in. All kind of things are going on in our bodies. God has created us in an incredible way. We have an incredible sound system, some better than others. We have an unbelievable video system. We have an incredible computer system. God has created us so that we can do certain things, so that we can move. You've heard these messages before. God loves us so much that He has created us in a way that we can enjoy life. And there's this whole emotional side of us that allows us to enjoy certain things. I just got a blue truck, okay? And some of you men are like, a blue truck, man, the black truck's the way to go, the gray truck's the way to go. You know, why would you ever get a blue truck? There's a certain color blue that I don't know why it happens, but I like that color. I'm drawn to that color. I can see that same color on a 1969 Volkswagen and go, yes! We're drawn to certain things emotionally. There are certain things that you enjoy. I enjoy fishing. I like going fishing. I don't like going at 4 in the morning, but I like going fishing. You enjoy other things. God's created you that way. Hey, by the way, God's put us around people. I can't imagine what it would be like to live alone. Have you ever seen those shows on TV where people go out and live alone and they try to see who can live? They struggle. We are created to have fellowship with each other. And guess what? Christians were created to have fellowship with other Christians. Look around this room. Seriously, turn your head. Look for a moment. God has created this family for us to enjoy. We're to help, we're to motivate, we're to encourage, we're to teach, we're to love, we're to worship together. We're to do certain things together that bring Him glory. But many, many times we choose not to love God, not to love others, and not to love life. And we go through life just with a terrible attitude, always blaming everybody else for our problems. You know what? You are blessed. You are blessed. In 2017, let's not dwell on the past. Let's thank God for the past. The past is a legacy that we can think about and we can learn from. But let's enjoy what God has coming for us this next year. Some lessons are taught. Some lessons are caught. Last year, year before, there were lessons that were taught to me. Many of those I caught. This is one lesson that I want you to catch. You can share this sermon with someone today. You can share this sermon with someone tomorrow. Love God, love others, love life. So, let's beat last year. Let's beat last year. Let's be excited about what God has for us in the days ahead. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you as we close. It's found in Colossians 3, starting with verse 12. It's a message to the Colossian Christians. Paul sent it, but it's a message for us here at Westwood. Listen to this, Westwood. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. What is it today you need to ask God to help you with for this next year? Maybe today you need to ask God to forgive you for the way you took on last year. Maybe today you need to make a decision to follow God more closely in your life. You see, the greatest giver of all is God. Because God tells us through His Scripture in John 3:16 that He gave His only Son so that we could have eternal life. Maybe today what you need to do is place your trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Maybe you've never done that and you're like, I want this year to be the start of something that will last eternally. I'm going to place my trust in Jesus. Maybe for you, you need to just ask God to forgive you for your stinking attitude. Maybe you need to ask God to help you be a giver this year. Maybe you've been faking it along the way. Maybe you've been wasting talents and abilities and gifts that God's given you. See, the church is designed so that every Christian has a gift and every person in the church has something to give to the body of believers. And so if you're just wasting that, stop. Start giving it back to God.